Hello, everyone. Welcome again to A Thoughtful Hour. I'm here on Strong Tower Radio. My name is Pastor Garrett Morgan, and I'm here with my friend David.
David Bolduc from Strong Tower Radio.
And we have just been so inspired as we've been reading through the final hours of the life of Jesus. We're trying to go through a gospel harmony of all the different gospels.
Yeah.
And Desire of Ages is a good job of giving the chronological...
Right, the chronological... Of
timeline.
The events of what happened,
yeah,
through Christ's life.
Exactly. And we're offering Desire of Ages to anyone that gives us a call and asks us for one,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. Give us a call, 231-468-2087. Go to our website, str.fm. Or if you can't do that, just write us a letter and send it to P.O. Box 567, Cadillac, Michigan, 49601.
Wonderful. And one other thing that we're using here, and if you can, you know, go on Google to find one, we can try and get one to you. We're talking about how we can do that, but we're going through a gospel harmony. Those are really nice.
It is, because it gives you a play-by-play of the chronology of what's actually happening.
Absolutely. So the gospel harmony, I actually have one in the back of my Bible. I didn't even know it was there until recently.
That's cool.
But if you just find it there, it just tells you the events and the order that they happened. Mm-hmm. Then it lists where it's found in the gospels.
Now, you know, I'd stumbled across the gospel harmony getting ready for this program. But I've always used the marginal references in my Bible, and it's like the old style hot links.
Yep.
So, you know, instead of clicking on it, you got to turn to this. But it gives you a reference from this verse back to another verse.
Really
and
nice.
Sometimes there's multiple layers, so you got to do some digging. But having a Bible with a marginal reference really helps you get a better grasp of what the Bible is talking about.
Absolutely. So invest in that good Bible, right?
And it wasn't that expensive, really.
No.
It's only like $25 or something. Come on, $25 is for the benefit that you get from it. Spend a little bit more money and you'll be blessed.
Yeah, I think my Bible that I use every day only cost me like $30, $35.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're using it every day, mm-hmm. I mean, get some quality, right?
And you know, some people want to do it on their smartphone. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
But I like to make notes in my Bible because whenever I put a note in there, the next time we're going through that, you think, oh, and so I look at the note or I look at the reference that I found, and it's a blessing to me. So, and you don't have to recharge a Bible.
You don't have to recharge a Bible. Yeah. And it becomes like your security blanket.
Yeah.
Like having your Bible with you is just, it's nice. But anyway, talking about a security blanket, Jesus didn't have one of those in the situation that we left him in last time.
He had faith in his Father.
He had faith in his Father. This is true.
Yeah.
But he had been forsaken by all of his disciples.
And it wasn't just the 12. It was the whole
his
group.
His following.
Yeah.
Yep, and we have his religion, his country. It seems like everyone is against him.
Yeah.
When just a few days prior on Palm Sunday, they were praising him.
You know the interesting parallel between Christ and the book of Job? The first chapter one of Job talks about you can do all this stuff and take away from him, but you can't touch him.
Interesting.
But then the second chapter is now you can touch him. Up until this point when Jesus is arrested, Satan couldn't touch Jesus. Now that Jesus has been arrested, and that began when Judas kissed him, and in the book Desire of Ages, it talks about how whenever the other people saw Judas touching Jesus, that sparked something. And so now that's Job chapter 2, where now you can afflict him, but you can't take his life.
That's interesting.
Isn't that fascinating how
that's
the
really
Bible just kind of get more depth from it?
And you know, the Bible's like an onion. There's just layers upon layers. And yeah, and even here with like Judas, like the Bible calls him the New Testament son of perdition, which is a phrase for Antichrist as well. So it's
Antichrist is not against Christ. It's not like he's his bitterest enemy, even though in principle he is. It's the one taking the place of Christ.
In place of Christ, exactly.
Look at me instead of him. Judas is like, I'm going to be his right-hand man because actually I'm going to be driving the bus.
Exactly.
And Jesus is like, no, you're not.
Mm-hmm. And of course, we know the end of Judas.
Yeah.
But we're here to focus on Jesus, not Judas. Praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
So he's been betrayed. He's in the hands of the mob after the whole fiasco with the ear. We talked about that in the last episode. And now he's been led to Annas, which is not the high priest of Caiaphas.
Okay.
But it's a relation, right?
Yeah. Father-in-law.
Father-in-law.
Right?
It is.
Yeah.
And the only one that mentions this in the Gospels is John. John 18 mentions that he first goes to Annas. John 18, 13. And they led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year.
Mm-hmm.
So first person they lead them to is Annas, and there's like a mini trial there from what we understand.
Right. Yeah.
And I'll say, we want to talk about this, I forgot. So a lot of people think that this trial of Jesus, and it would be more fair to say trials, plural, because Jesus went through six trials,
right?
And we'll talk about those. But from the time of Jesus in Gethsemane and then being betrayed, which was around midnight, right? A little bit before that.
Close to
midnight. And so the time from his betrayal to being on the cross was less than 24 hours.
Now, when I realized that, what you just said, it's like, that's true. But you always think the whole week, the whole time period takes so much longer.
Yeah.
But it doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, right now, there's a big trial that's going on in the United States right now. I won't mention which one it is, but I'm paying closer attention to it because I'm interested in what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this trial's gone on for weeks. And every little detail, every little picture and movement and character witness, and I mean, there's no end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the prosecution just ended. Now it's time for the defense. And the prosecution took a month.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's just so detailed. But here, at the trials of Jesus, it's mm-hmm. like 9 hours.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like you brought up last time, too. This happened at nighttime. And
yes.
In the Jewish economy, that was illegal.
Illegal.
That case should have been thrown out immediately
mm-hmm.
because what they did, they did not have good witnesses, and they arrested him at nighttime. Those two right there were against the law.
Absolutely. And we'll see here from the Gospels as well that the witnesses they did have were hired, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were false witnesses that were hired to speak against
him. And they
him.
Couldn't even.
No, their stories didn't line up.
No, they didn't.
Exactly. And also, think about this too, and this plays into the story here. The Jews had wanted to kill Jesus before this.
Yes.
But because they were under Roman rule, they didn't have the authority to execute anyone they wanted like they did in theocracy.
Yeah.
So they had to go to the Romans.
You know, going back to John, I think it's chapter 11, the whole thing where Lazarus dies and Jesus raises him from the grave. It talks in there about how they wanted to kill Jesus and Lazarus.
Yep, they want him gone.
And Jesus had told a parable. Even if somebody by the name of Lazarus came from the grave, you still wouldn't believe me.
Mm, that's something.
There it is, right there.
Yeah. And even back when Christ first started his ministry, he performed one of his first miracles, and it goes to the Jewish council. And Nicodemus comes on the scene and says, well, wait a minute, we have to examine this guy before we just knock him off.
Yeah.
So, but here, I doubt that he's involved with this.
Probably not. He probably was, we just don't want him. He talks too much.
he talks too much. We don't want that influence over us. He's one of them anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So Jesus is before Annas, but Annas isn't the one that can give authority to the Romans to kill someone. So Jesus goes from Annas to the high priest, Caiaphas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we see that in John 18:14. It says, now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. And then we see Simon Peter, and he's there, and he's warming up next to a fire outside the judgment hall.
And this is talking about that when Jesus said, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times.
Exactly. And so we're seeing this play out in Peter's life during this same period.
Yeah. So they're in there with Jesus in the trials going on. And then Peter's outside there, and of all people, a young girl comes up to him,
mm-hmm.
a servant girl. Now, who is the least person that Peter should be afraid of? Not a servant girl.
She's low on the totem pole.
And then yet she says, weren't you with him?
Mm-hmm.
Just an innocent question, maybe, or maybe she's trying to point out something. And he denies Christ right there.
There you have it. Exactly. So we see that here, and in fact, Annas is only mentioned in the Gospel of John. We talked about that, but Jesus before Caiaphas and the denials of Peter, that happens in all four of the Gospels. So they all mention the trial with Caiaphas and Peter denying Jesus, which
and
is interesting.
You know, it's not to throw Peter, the old saying we say so many times, throw him under the bus.
Right.
It's to show the love of Christ for Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter was a sinner just like all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't perfect. But he made mistakes, but the difference between Peter and Judas is just like the difference between King David and King Saul.
Mm-hmm.
Because David pleaded for God's forgiveness. Peter pled for God's forgiveness. Judas and Saul, they were full of themselves, and they would not submit.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus on the mount said, thy will be done. Peter and David both had that same character, thy will be done.
There you have it. And so Jesus here is on his way between trials, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I love how Luke puts it, Peter denies Jesus those three times.
Yes.
And in fact, one of the Gospels, I forget which one it is, but he even swears.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right?
He's just like trying to convince him completely that he is not a disciple.
Yep. I don't even know who that man is. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And then I find it just, you can see it in your mind in Luke 22:60.
Okay.
And Peter said, "Man, I know not what you say." And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew.
Mm-hmm.
So in the moment that Peter was denying Jesus that third time, and it was just on his lips, that rooster crows.
Yeah. And something so innocent as a rooster crowing, but yet Peter's like, Jesus said three times.
Click.
Boom.
Yep. And in that moment, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter.
And it wasn't a scowl like, I told you.
Just eye contact.
Yeah.
Right?
He didn't even have to. Yeah, eye contact.
So, you know, when I remember reading this story for the first time or just hearing this story, I always thought, okay, Peter just came to that thought on his own, but Jesus must have been passing by, but he was visible,
mm-hmm.
and that rooster crowed, and he looks at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, and he went out and wept.
And I love how the book Desire of Ages puts it, because Peter looks at Christ, Christ looks at him, and there's sorrow in Christ's eyes for Peter, even though John 18, 23, 22, it just happened where Jesus was being beaten and struck by these other people. Jesus was going through physical abuse himself, but he looks at Peter with compassion and says, oh, poor Peter.
Yeah.
And it just really wrenches Peter's heart, and he goes out and he goes back to Gethsemane.
He goes to his Gethsemane experience.
Place. Yeah.
I really believe that this is the point when Peter is converted.
Yeah.
And he has to hit that rock bottom.
Yeah.
And again, this is another comparison here, because you see Peter and you see Judas, and they both come to a very similar what just happened.
Yeah.
Judas goes and he ends it.
You know, there's three phases of repentance.
Mm-hmm.
There's first acknowledging that you did something wrong. But there's secondly, whenever you start taking ownership. But the third part is whenever you take ownership and you say, I'm going to do different.
Yeah.
And Peter, Judas, he's like, yeah, I got caught. But Peter, he said, Lord, I'm done with that.
Repentance.
Yeah.
So Judas doesn't follow through with the gift of repentance, and he takes matters into his own hands.
Yes.
And Peter is broken.
Yeah.
And he repents.
Yes.
So again, there's major lessons to be learned in the comparison of those two things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when someone is convicted about something that they've done, and like we all have been,
oh, yeah.
It's very easy to dwell on that and to beat yourself up to the point that you're just in utter despair.
Right.
But remember, yes, it's a serious thing when we sin against God, but there is forgiveness, and yeah. You can overcome.
And if you look at the parable of the prodigal son,
yeah,
the whole principle behind that is he came to himself.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he realized what he had done, the father's like, no more conversation. We're done. You're here. That's all that matters.
Exactly.
Because you've turned back and you've recognized the son. He asked for forgiveness.
So do you think Judas would have been forgiven?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Lucifer would have been forgiven if he had come to that point.
What a testimony that would have been for Judas.
He would have had... Yeah, Judas would have been, you know, you've got Paul and you got Peter, James, John. Judas would have been above that because he was the one, but yet he said, I was wrong.
Right. So what a waste of a story that could have been
yeah.
with Judas. But we have Peter who follows the word of God and is humble enough to repent and be changed.
Yeah.
And we see the power that comes from that. But we are out of time, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
So we'll be back next time with seeing Jesus go before Caiaphas. But thank you again for joining us here on A Thoughtful Hour at Strong Tower Radio, and we will see you next time.